It is February 19th, 2026. And before we jump in today, I want you to just take a second and look at the device in your hand.
Yeah, your smartphone. Because if you rewind the clock, say, 5 or 6 years back to the start of the decade, the marketing departments of the world made a massive promise about that exact device.
Right, the 5G promise. They told us it was going to turn that phone into a magic wand. We were promised remote surgery, entire cities full of autonomous cars perfectly avoiding each other.
A complete sci-fi overhaul of reality.
Exactly. And I'm your host for this deep dive, and sitting across from me is our resident tech and telecommunications expert. And looking around today, we didn't quite get that sci-fi reality, did we?
No, we didn't. Instead of remote surgery, we mostly just got, slightly faster video buffering. Maybe your Instagram loads a fraction of a second quicker. Oh, and a slightly higher bill from your carrier.
Right. The revolution felt a lot more like a really expensive incremental software update.
But that is exactly why we are looking at this specific stack of reports on the desk today.
Yes, these are fresh out of South Korea, specifically detailing breakthroughs from Samsung Electronics and KT Corporation, which is South Korea's premier telco.
And reading through these, it really suggests that the whole 5G disappointment phase might actually be over. They have successfully tested 6G technology, and they did it in a way that fundamentally breaks the previous rules of wireless physics.
Which is huge. We're not just looking at theoretical white papers or lab simulations anymore.
No, this is live silicon. This is the starting pistol for a multi-100-billion-dollar race. Samsung and KT have managed to utilize the 7 GHz spectrum to achieve things that 5G simply could not touch.
Honestly, looking at the data here, it feels like the moment the industry finally woke up from its 5G hangover.
I completely agree.
So that is our mission for this deep dive. We need to unpack why this specific frequency, the 7 GHz band, is suddenly the Goldilocks zone for the internet.
We'll also get into how a technology called XMMO is bending the laws of signal propagation.
And crucially, we're going to impartially map out why this engineering breakthrough has triggered an intense geopolitical chess match between the U.S., China, and South Korea.
Because it really is a race for control of the future industrial internet.
But I think before we get to the geopolitics, we have to understand the crime scene first. Why did 5G break its promise to you, the consumer?
Well, it comes down to latency and physics. I mean, remember the hype about sub-millisecond latency? Zero lag.
Yeah, the idea that the network would react as fast as human thought. But when I look at the real-world data in these telecom reports, 5G usually hovers between 10 and 30 milliseconds.
Which, to be fair to the engineers, is totally fine for human reflexes. Your brain doesn't really notice a 30-millisecond delay when you click a web link.
Sure, for YouTube it's fine. But the 5G promise wasn't really about humans, was it? It was about machines.
Exactly. If you are a drone swarm flying in tight formation, or a robotic arm making a microscopic surgical incision,
30 milliseconds is an absolute eternity.
it is the difference between a successful procedure and a massive malpractice suit. Or a drone just smashing to a skyscraper.
So why did we get stuck at 30 milliseconds? The reports referred to this as the physics trap of 5G deployment.
Right. Telecom operators were basically forced to choose between two really bad options when rolling out 5G. Option A was using sub-6 GHz frequencies.
Okay, let's break that down. Sub-6 GHz. These are lower frequencies.
Think of them like the bass notes in a song coming from your neighbor's house. You can hear the bass through the walls, right?
Yeah.
Low frequencies travel through physical obstacles and cover long distances very easily.
Which operators love.
Yeah.
Because that means you save money on cell towers. You don't need to build as many to cover a city.
But the trade-off is severe. They lack the bandwidth for extreme speed. The metaphorical pipe is just too narrow. You cannot shove a terabit of data through a bass note.
So that leaves option B.
Option B was mmWave, millimeter wave, things like the 28 gigahertz band. These are ultra-high frequencies.
And technically, those offer insane speeds, right?
Off-the-chart speed. But they are incredibly fragile.
I actually remember the early press demos of mmWave phones.
Mm-hmm.
If the journalist literally just stood in front of the antenna, the signal dropped.
It was almost comical. A single tree leaf, a heavy rainstorm, or even just holding your phone the wrong way and covering the edge of the device, it effectively killed the signal.
Because the wavelength is so short that almost any physical object blocks it.
Exactly. So to make mmWave actually work for a whole city, you would need to install a base station on literally every single lamppost on every street.
Which is just economically impossible.
Completely. The capital expenditure, the CapEx, would have bankrupted the entire telecom industry.
So they didn't do it.
No. The world just settled for a watered-down 5G on the low bands, We got the map coverage, but we didn't get the technological revolution. We essentially just got a faster version of 4G.
Enter 6G. And looking at these consensus documents from the ITU and the 3TPP, which is the global standards bodies, the targets they've set for 6G are frankly audacious.
They are swinging for the fences. They want 1 terabit per second.
1 terabit. That is a 50-fold increase over the theoretical peak of 5G.
Plus, they want sub 0.1 millisecond latency.
And the density target caught my eye, too. They need the network to support 10 million connected devices per square kilometer.
Which is 10 times the current capacity.
So this brings us to the core problem. How do you hit 1 terabit speeds and connect 10 million devices without falling into that exact same physics trap? If you go low on the spectrum, you're too slow. If you go high, the signal dies when it rains.
Where is the middle ground? That is exactly where this Samsung and KT breakthrough pivots the entire industry conversation.
Because for a while, people were saying 6G would use terahertz frequencies, right? Even higher than millimwave?
Yes, there was a massive hype cycle around terahertz or terahertz. But Samsung realized that going higher was just doubling down on the fragile signal problem. You'd need a tower every 2 feet.
So they abandoned terahertz.
They pivoted hard. They looked at the upper mid-band instead, specifically the range between 7 gigahertz and 24 gigahertz.
And this live test we are analyzing today focused on 7 gigahertz. Why is 7 gigahertz the magic number?
Because it is the perfect compromise. Think of the radio spectrum like a highway system. 7 gigahertz provides a highway that is wide enough, meaning it has large enough bandwidth to flush massive terabit data blocks through quickly.
So you get the 6G speed.
Yes. But crucially, it is still low enough on the spectrum that it actually has decent propagation.
Meaning the signal can penetrate a brick wall to reach your phone inside a building?
Exactly. It maintains signal integrity without needing a cell tower on every street corner. And that solves the massive economic headache that crippled 5G.
Operators can just use their existing cell tower grids.
Right. Wall Street calls this capital efficiency. You use the towers you already own, but you get performance that completely blows 5G out of the water.
But let's look at the technical breakdown in the KT report here. Because 7 gigahertz isn't exactly a free lunch. It still has weaker propagation than the old 4G networks or low-band 5G.
It does?
You can't just slap a standard antenna on an existing tower and expect the 7 gigahertz signal to reach my basement.
No, the physics don't work that way. And this is where the second half of the breakthrough comes in, a technology called XMIMO.
Extreme. Multiple input. Multiple output. It sounds like a marketing buzzword.
It does sound like a sneaker brand or something, but the engineering underneath it is fascinating. In 5G, we used something called Massive MIMO, which involved antenna panels with maybe 64 or 128 individual elements inside them.
Okay, so a grid of 128 tiny antennas working together.
Right. But XMIMO is on technological steroids. It is an order of magnitude more complex. We are talking about packing thousands of antenna elements into a single array.
Thousands. Yeah. In one panel on a cell tower.
Yes. And the way they utilize those thousands of elements is through advanced beamforming.
How does that work in practice?
Well, think about a traditional antenna. It operates like a light bulb. You turn it on, and it casts signal in every direction indiscriminately.
So it's basically shouting at the whole room, hoping your phone hears it.
Exactly, which wastes a massive amount of energy and signal strength. XMIMO does not do that. It is more like a sniper rifle or a precision laser.
It targets the specific device.
It identifies your specific device among the thousands around it, and it sheets a high-powered, concentrated beam of data directly at you.
And by focusing all that energy into a laser-like beam, it elevates what the engineers call antenna gain, which perfectly compensates for the signal loss you'd normally get at 7 gigahertzers.
Precisely. And it tracks you. If you walk down the street, the beam tracks you. If you turn a corner, it recalculates the bounce instantly.
That requires an incredible amount of processing power. And reading between the lines of the Samsung report, that seems to be the quiet flex they're making here to the rest of the industry.
Oh, it's a massive flex. The manufacturing prowess required to build an XMIMO panel is staggering. This isn't just soldering wires together.
The report mentions ultra-precise silicon metallurgy.
Yes. You need proprietary RF chips to manage thousands of signals simultaneously. If you don't engineer the silicon perfectly, a panel doing that much math will overheat or the signals will interfere with each other.
Which signals to legacy European giants like Ericsson and Nokia that Samsung has a distinct advantage? because Samsung owns its own semiconductor foundries.
They do. They can bake the required physics right into the chip at the atomic level. They are proving they can manufacture the physics, not just model them on a computer.
It's one thing to design XMIMO in a lab. It's another to build a panel that can sit on a tower in the freezing rain for 10 years and process terabits of data without melting.
Exactly.
Okay, so we have the pipe, which is 7 gigahertz, and we have the delivery system, which is XMIMO. But I want to play devil's advocate for a moment. I do this every time we talk about these astronomical data speeds.
Go for it.
Why do I, as a consumer, need 1 terabit per second? My 4K movie streamed just fine right now. Is this just tech for the sake of tech?
It is a fair question, but if you think of 6G as just faster internet for downloading movies to your phone, you are completely missing the point.
Okay, correct my perspective, though.
That is where the marketing failed us with 5G. 6G is not designed for consuming content. It is designed for synchronization.
Synchronization between what?
Between the physical realm and the digital realm in real time.
Give me a concrete example from the source material. What does synchronization actually look like?
Let's take digital twins. This is a massive concept in industrial engineering right now. Imagine a massive automotive factory line or even an entire smart city replicated perfectly in a 3D digital simulation.
Okay, like a hyper-realistic SimCity.
Right. City managers could test a radical traffic pattern change in the digital twin, see if it causes a bottleneck, and then apply it to the real city. But for that simulation to be accurate, it needs data from millions of physical sensors updating instantly.
So if a real car moves on a real street, its digital counterpart has to move in the digital twin at the exact same millisecond.
Exactly. That requires a level of bandwidth and connection density we simply do not possess today. That is why the target is 10 million connections per square kilometer.
Wow. So it's not about the one phone in my pocket. It's about the million sensors embedded in the concrete around me.
Yes. Or look at the use case for mission-critical robotics. The reports call this cloud inference. Right now, autonomous robots are really heavy and extremely expensive.
Because they have to carry a supercomputer in their head to process what their cameras are seeing.
Exactly. They need heavy GPUs, massive cooling fans, giant batteries just to run the processors. You can't have a nimble swarm of tiny drones if each one needs a heavy NVIDIA chip strapped to its back.
So how does 6G change that physical limitation?
With 6G's sub-0.1 millisecond latency, you can literally take the brain out of the robot.
Put it in the cloud.
Yes. The robot just becomes a lightweight shell with cameras and sensors. It sees a physical world, pumps that massive 3D point cloud data up to a server 50 miles away.
The server does the heavy thinking.
And sends the movement command back down to the robot. And because the lag is effectively zero, the robot acts as if the supercomputer is on board.
That fundamentally changes the economics of robotics. You could build incredibly cheap, lightweight robots that have the intelligence of a massive data center.
You could have a swarm of construction drones that are basically just cheap motors and cameras, all acting as one cohesive unit controlled by a central AI.
The network essentially becomes the computer. That is a wild vision. But there is always a catch in these deep dives. Technology does not exist in a vacuum.
No, it exists in a regulatory environment.
Right. And reading the geopolitical analysis in these reports, this 7 gigahertz breakthrough has highlighted a massive systemic problem specifically for the United States.
The spectrum war. This is where the brilliant engineering hits a very thick political wall.
We just spent 15 minutes explaining why the 7 gigahertz to 8.4 gigahertz band is the absolute Goldilocks zone for the next industrial revolution. But in North America, that spectrum is not empty.
Far from it. In the U.S., the upper midband is heavily crowded with federal users, specifically the Department of Defense.
With the military.
Yes. The reports detail how they use those exact frequencies for critical infrastructure like radar, satellite communications, and secure military links.
So we have a situation where Samsung and KT are in Seoul, proving that 7 gigahertz is the foundation of the future economy. Meanwhile, the FCC in Washington, D.C. is staring at a spectrum map that just says occupied.
It is a legitimate crisis point for American telecom. The source material is very explicit in its warning here. If the U.S. does not clear this spectrum, or at least figure out a highly sophisticated way to share it with the military, American operators are going to be stranded.
AT&T, Verizon, T-Mobile, they would be forced to build American 6G on substandard frequencies.
Frequencies that are either too low to deliver the speed or too high to provide the coverage.
While Asia builds the perfect superhighway.
Correct. And this ties directly into the intense standards race currently happening at the 3GPP.
Remind us what the 3GPP is.
It is the global body that essentially writes the universal rulebook for how cellular networks operate. And right now, it is a cold war over patents.
The reports outline this as basically the U.S. and South Korea on one side and China, heavily driven by Huawei, on the other.
It is a game of global chess, but the pieces are standard essential patents, or SEPs. Whoever dictates the SEPs wins the entire decade of telecom infrastructure.
Because if your patented technology becomes the global standard, every carrier on Earth has to pay you to use it.
Exactly. And this is Samsung's massive power play. By proving that 7 gigahertz XMMO works in the real world right now, they are heavily tipping the scales at the 3GPP. They are essentially saying, look, this is the standard. If you want 6G to actually work and be affordable, you have to do it our way.
And if that approach is adopted universally, then Samsung becomes the primary arms dealer for the next generation of global connectivity.
Think about the advantage. Legacy players like Ericsson and Nokia are fantastic engineering companies.
Yeah.
But do they have the memory chip fabrication, the logic chip foundries, and the panel assembly all under one corporate roof like Samsung?
Not at that scale, no. And I have to imagine Wall Street is incredibly bullish on this specific approach because of that capital efficiency we talked about earlier.
Oh, investors are thrilled by this. Wall Street is exhausted by expensive rollouts. They watched billions of dollars vanish into 5G infrastructure with very slow returns on investment.
Right, because laying new fiber and negotiating leases for thousands of new lamppost antennas is a logistical nightmare.
So when a company offers a solution where an operator can just drive up to an existing cell tower, swap out the old panel for a new Samsung X MIMO unit, and instantly flip the switch on 6G, that is a financial game changer.
It makes the numbers work for the CFOs, not just the CTOs.
And history shows us that financial viability is usually the true tipping point for mass adoption.
So to synthesize all of this, we started today talking about the broken promise of 5G, the frustration we all felt with the buffering and the battery drain.
But what the source material shows us today, on February 19, 2026, is a massive industry correction.
Right. The smartest minds are abandoning the fragile hyper-frequency hype, and they are settling into a brilliant compromise at 7 gigahertz, supported by some truly jaw-dropping heavy lifting from XMIMO antennas.
We are officially moving from the era of simply connecting people to each other to the era of synchronizing the physical and digital worlds.
But the lingering variable here is whether the government regulators can keep pace with the hardware engineers.
The reports make it clear geography isn't just about physical land anymore. It is about radio frequency. If your country doesn't have the frequency available, you don't control the territory of the future economy.
Which brings up a really provocative thought to leave you with today. We've talked extensively about the geopolitical risks and the hardware, but consider the human experience of this synchronization. If 6G networks eventually achieve zero lag transmission of rich 3D point cloud data painting, a digital twin over our physical world seamlessly, our actual perception of reality is going to change.
The lines get completely blurred.
Exactly. The next display screen you buy might just be a pair of clear glasses. And when the digital world is rendered over the physical world with absolute sub-millisecond perfection, your brain won't be able to distinguish between what is physically there and what is being beamed down from a 7 gigahertz XMIMO panel.
Yeah.
Reality itself becomes something that is downloaded, something to mull over the next time you look at that phone in your hand.
It's an exciting and slightly terrifying frontier.
Thanks for diving into the source material with us today.
See you on the next deep dive.